Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Welcome back to the Home Goal FC podcast! Big cheer! Now, the podcast this week is brought to you by our official legal partner and our good friend, Jones White, and we are joined by the lovely Claudia. How are you?
I'm good, thanks. Thanks for having me. How are you?
I'm brilliant. How are you, boys? All right?
Good, Slaney. Good.
Not bad.
Now, Claudia, what is your role here at Jones White?
So, I'm a dispute resolution solicitor at Jones White.
Right.
I don't know if you know much about dispute.
You know that, don't you?
I know a wee bit about dispute resolution.
But you take it away, haven't you?
Yeah, of course. So basically, our team is here to help bring disputes to a satisfactory conclusion for our clients. So this can be between a landlord and a tenant. So right now, we've got quite a lot with the eviction problems and the rent, sort of issues paying your rent. It can be between you and a tradesman. So if you've instructed works at your property or you want your roof done and it's not completed properly or there's any delays, we can get involved to help that. Sort of defamation matters. So if somebody's made defamatory comments about you or any slander, we can obviously get involved to make that stop.
See, on that, so over, I've been with Open Goal for 5 years, slagged off constantly for 5 years. Have I got a case? Have I got a case against these two?
Definitely, we can definitely help.
I'll give you a shout after this.
Yeah, we'll have a chat. So also we do sort of neighbour boundary disputes. So if you've got any issues with your title deeds or any sort of ongoing issues with your neighbours, or sort of we have issues with garden fences and everything like that, we can get involved with that. Basically anything from issuing a letter all the way through to defending or pursuing a court action, that's where we're basically there to help.
Claudia, you'd be absolutely brilliant, but we're not finished yet. Boys, have you said any issues with your neighbours or any issues that you would like to ask Claudia, just so?
I've just obviously, when she brought up their issues with neighbour disputes and stuff like that, I've got an ongoing thing that I probably would like to try and resolve one way or another, because
yeah,
the other means of trying to resolve it isn't working, so maybe need to speak to you after this.
So Claudia, see if anybody is struggling at home, what should they do, how to deal with this and get in touch with you?
So basically, if you go to joneswhite.co.uk, one of our expert dispute members will be in touch with you, or you can click the link below and we'll be in touch as well.
Amazing. Claudia, absolutely amazing.
Well, super. Well done,
Claudia.
Thanks
for having me.
Great debut. So guys, substitution, big substitution.
That is.
The main man.
The manager.
The manager, the gaffer. Simon, in you come.
Come on, Simon. Just back to Liverpool Nunes, a wee podcast. What I've come to.
Not as a wee present, you're like you're wasting away.
No,
so.
No.
You'll have them tanned, won't you?
Off,
you'll have
mate.
Them battered by the end of this.
Oh, a pleasure to be on, lads. Thanks for having us.
For Anfield to know what with me.
See, when you hit the height, sometimes you need to be lows just to remind you how good the good times are.
Like to.
How was it the weekend?
Oh, brilliant, mate. What a weekend, bro.
Just needed it, mate.
No, I fucked about five times. Massimo Donati had a fucking eye patch on his right eye, mate.
How did you not put in the Rangers, man?
I don't hang in here, but retired, do you know?
I think you do, mate.
You're not retired, though.
Heard the day. Who was meant to be brilliant?
How did you not play?
That's a big question.
Yeah, seriously, what do you think?
Big names.
I'm going to be a cowboy. Like, look like a cowboy.
What did you say you're going to wear underneath it?
Check shirt.
Where's your fish?
But I'm going to have. See, I should have worn the boots, mate. I shouldn't have. That would have suited my.
What, the Doc Martens?
See, like the boy for Yellowstone?
Doc Martens, I think that would have been a good look.
That would have been a good look.
I'll date that for the next show, mate.
Yep, no.
It's mad, isn't it? How he just kind of pull off any look.
I know.
You think usually like one look, like you. No, in fact.
No. I'm no fashionable.
Hey,
look at
your old job back.
Zip's no, Zip's no.
He's Zip's.
What's going on here?
I want your old job back.
Look.
No bad, aren't they?
Oh, you're nice, mate.
I'm going to wear these, keep talking. I'm going
to wear shining in a day.
I think that's a good stroke.
What are you, Kim?
It's like, come on, Kim, you're the host today.
You're
hosting
that. Help me again. On your question regarding why did Slaney not get down to Liverpool, apparently Celtic contacted Open Goal, they were needing one of the Celtic legends and they got the names mixed up.
Oh.
So he ended up getting down. So
happy with that.
Is that what happened, Slaney?
I think so. I think every Celtic fans in the street have spoke to me and said you should have been going ahead of him. So
memories that'll last a lifetime. You can like me.
How was your performance though?
Safe. Mate, nobody else wanted to keep the ball, brothers, eh?
No.
What, a basketball game?
Yeah, what film?
I just want... What film?
Karate Kid.
Mr. Miyagi.
Toy Story. Sorry.
Anyway,
who does he look like in Toy Story? Must be somebody he looks like.
You look Sid. No. You look like Sid.
The neighbour.
The horrible wee guy.
So he does.
The wee guy that cuts the toys up.
That's an amazing
shot. You look the guy.
Oh my God.
Don't say Buzz right here.
It's the exact same haircut.
Don't even say it. Don't even say it.
Yeah. He looks like the guy in the second man.
Oh, Sid, isn't it?
See Mr. Padilla? No, he looks like...
See the big guy eating the watsits?
No, he looks like the guy that steals Buzz, the comic guy.
Oh, boy, say don't laugh, you'll greet.
Correct.
And it has been, listen,
it's been a week for my mum, is nearly greeting.
And I'll be like, I get battered every week. I think one of the faces in, and one of the people that you, if you're frustrated, you take out in me, don't you? And I like that, I've always liked that.
It shows.
But genuinely, last week I did struggle, I phoned you. You were good, mate, weren't you? You dealt with it fine, but I really struggled. I had a low, but there was a few things going on personally as well with me, so it probably didn't help. But
listen, these decisions and stuff that's happened last week, and obviously Si announcing that he's moving on, and the coach and staff and everyone's moving on. Sometimes that just happens in life. It's just simple. Sometimes things don't happen the way you hope they'd happen. But I could honestly sit here and say, and not just be knowing you, like he's put everything into it. Some days you come out of the podcast on a Monday or a Tuesday and he's be down for a few days and a bit flat and like, what's wrong? You'd phone and text after the game, say, I can't, wasn't sleeping last night. And like, it kind of took over your life a bit. Mm. So in aspects of people criticising the situation, listen today and understand what's actually going on and how it's actually affecting you personally and your personal life, you as a human being, first and foremost. And this is why we're here. We're here to chat about it. Mm-hmm. How do you feel now that the news is out? Do you feel a bit more relieved or...?
No, listen, I can take abuse, mate. I'm just a big boy, do you know what I mean? But it's when people are saying things that aren't true that you start... It's not me again, it's my family that kind of taking it hard. But so I wanted to come on, dispel a few myths that have been kind of going about this week. So for one, I never left Broomhill because I had an offer of another job. Once I decided to leave Broomhill, be totally honest with you, I've had a chairman, a director of football phone us, no offer as a job, but to sit and speak about a possibility of a job, which I've knocked back because I didn't want to be a manager next year. Mm-hmm. And that's part of the reason why I'm leaving Broomhill. I don't think it's possible for me to be a manager and then come on this type of podcast on a Monday where you need to be upbeat. You know, this is my priority in life. This is what we've built up for nothing. This is what kind of pays the bills, you know what I mean? You need to be in top form for this straight away. And I didn't feel like that's capable when you're a manager. I don't think it's right when you've been beat 3-0 on a Saturday, you're coming on here laughing and joking. Now, if you're a coach or a player, I think it's all right. But if you're the main guy in charge, and like I say, you've been beat on a Saturday, you're coming on here laughing and joking, I didn't think it's right. I didn't feel comfortable doing it.
Yep.
I didn't want to do it again for another season. So in terms of management, I'll not be doing that again next year. You just know how much I love coaching. Couple of possibilities to maybe go and coach somewhere, which I want to take up. If that coaching job only consists of me turning up, putting on a session and going up the road. Mm-hmm. Because like I say, it's too consuming for me to be a manager and also do this podcast. Again, with the management time, the amount of time it took up in my life was incredible, mate. For anybody saying that this is like a vanity project, I don't think I've ever worked as hard in my life at any job that I've ever had. And that started to affect my family, started to affect the staff, mm-hmm. the amount of times we fell out, the players. I wanted to run this club like a League One club. Okay, if I came for what I think is one of the best run part-time clubs in Scotland, in Peterhead, I wanted this to be run the same. That's why I was able to get guys like him on the promise that that's what it would be. But the reality is, Kev, at Broomhill have been going for, 10 years now, and we've got two guys that work there. Again, that's no slagging the two guys because they've got jobs as well.
Yep.
I've no doubt they've worked hard. But between the three of us, we're kind of trying to run a full football club together. But also, not just a normal football club, a football club with open goal attached to it as well. And the amount of work that came with that was a lot more than what I thought it would be.
Yeah, I think.
And I just didn't feel like I could be successful working under these circumstances, Kev. That's not to say that under these circumstances you can't be successful, because I think Broomhill were, I think the guy Swifty got them fourth in the league 1 year, so it is possible. But for me and how I want to work, I don't feel like I can be successful under these circumstances. People probably watch this and go, well, why didn't you put more money in it? I think people think that open goal sit with a big pot of cash, which we didn't. the way that we've worked this is that any money that we've spent is money that we generate for sponsors such as Bucks Bar, Jones White, M&D Green, and then also the gate money.
Yep.
But one thing you can't guarantee, and what we thought would get a lot more, was the gate money.
Yep.
But due to circumstances out with our control, in terms of the weather, there was times where it was freezing, we didn't get the crowds that we thought we'd get. Then also the Saturday games. I mean, the league's not been accommodating as we thought it would be, teams not been accommodating as we thought it would be, and we've ended up having to play a lot more Saturday games than we thought, because with the Friday night games, I think you've seen the crowd was there. If we want to get Friday night games, there maybe could have been resources there to go and get more staff and more bodies in to help us to get to where we want to be. But ultimately we can't guarantee that, and we don't want to be a company that goes in, or a team that goes and spends out with our means. You look at Spartans and that, Kevin, I've said this before, I went and spoke to their manager, and you look at their setup compared to ours, I just find it hard for us to compete with them at that level.
Broomhill's only been going for 10 years. They don't have a huge fan base. So when you're putting, it sounds like maybe try to put excuses in here, but it's far from it, because ultimately with the league no accommodating, and they don't have a right to accommodate anybody, but I think it would enhance the league if teams were playing on a Friday night and getting the nights when we played Alloa, 1,500 people at Broadwood and stuff. That's only benefiting the league. So I think sometimes when the likes of this project, if it ever was to come along again for, say, somebody else somewhere along the line, I think they've got to be a wee bit more accommodating.
Peter, the thing that really annoyed me, I think a couple of people said it's a vanity project.
Nice.
I mean, I left a League One job on better money and a lot less work to come and do this. Nice. He's left a Championship team with one game away for the Premier League for less money to come here. And it wasn't through, how's that vanity? Came here because we speak on the podcast about how we're going to play, the style of play we want, how we want to help young players come through in Scotland. That's what we speak about on this podcast. That's what we wanted to do. I could have left this job. I was going to leave the job two or three times during the season. The one reason I never stayed, please believe me, is to make myself look good, because if any of I've looked worse than it.
Yep.
The one reason that I've stayed is for the players, mate.
Yeah.
That's the reason why we've stayed. We've seen it. He's been frustrated. How many times have you been frustrated this year, brothers, with situations, and you've stuck it?
It's just a good opportunity today to get things off, Brody. What have you thought of it all, obviously, because you've come in on the promise of Simon's conversation, and then now obviously it's looking in, but I'm pretty sure I've not seen you without a smile on your face the times you've been involved in everything that we've done.
Don't get me wrong, at first it was, as I said, it was hard. I was getting frustrated and that, but once you get your head round it, like, I came here, I'm not going to lie, I came here as a project. I was here for the long term. Bit gutted, as I say, I left a good club at a good level. But it wasn't even about the money, it was more about working with Si and how he worked, and that I enjoyed it. The training was intense. It wasn't as if it was a mess about, do you know what I mean? We were there, we were at it every day. And if anything, I think these boys would have learned from how you go about your business every training session, rather than you come in, you go to another part-time team, you mess about and all that. We were at it every training session. So for that, I hope these boys take it on to if they stay or they go to their next club. But in terms of a personal point of view, yeah, a wee bit gutted. Came here, I was hoping we could have went through the leagues as everybody did. But as you said earlier, that's life. Mm-hmm. Sometimes shit happens.
It just doesn't work out.
It doesn't work out. And as Si's come on here and he's explained and explaining that, it's not possible to go another year. So what do? You sit and you cry about it and take all this negativity that which was always going to come its way, and take it all to heart and say, oh, I'm not going to go again, I'm not going to go and get another job and hide away from it. No, we're big enough and bad enough that we'll go again and we'll take more criticism. Mm-hmm. But at least we are willing to put ourselves out there and make their mistakes.
That's important.
Do you know what I mean? That's how many people sit at home and are not willing to do anything in case they take criticism? Come on, is that what life's about? We go again.
Yeah. I've seen a thing it's crazy that it's almost like Broomhill's going to fold as a club now that we are pulling it. That's so far from the truth. Do you know what I mean? Like, they're still being a good, where they were last season when they've been, us coming, it's not making them in a worse position, is it?
Well, can I say something? I've seen that as well. The club will be left worse off. Players have sold the dream. So I want to address the two things. So first of all, with the clubs being, it'll be worse off. There'll be no debt left at the club when we leave.
Mm-hmm.
The outstanding debt. There was debt when we went there. Yeah. We cleared that debt. So the club's actually in a better position than it is once we've left than we first got it. In terms of the players, a player's been sold a dream. For anyone that knows how part-time level works, mate, it's always 1 year contracts.
Mm-hmm.
Now, in terms of selling people a dream, every player I went and met was told, I think I said this to you, brothers, if we're up near the top of the league, we'll go again next year. Is that my worst day? If no, it'll be in doubt. Like anything in life, mate, if it's not successful, there's a doubt there whether it'll go again because there might not be the interest in it, you might not generate the sponsorship for it. But in terms of telling players exactly how we were going to play, exactly how we were going to train, exactly how I was going to prepare for things, exactly the intensity, I don't think one player can come in here and say, we've not matched that.
100%.
So in terms of selling players a dream, that has not happened. Every single player was told exactly how it was going to be. And I believe that I've stuck to everything that I said I was going to do in terms of professionalism, in terms of preparation for every training session, for every game. But you look at any part-time club in this summer, whether it's fucking Kelty Hearts, whether it's Dumbarton, there'll be 10 players leaving that
yep,
summer.
100%.
And that's just the way part-time football works.
It's just no document and people don't see it, but because
it's open goal.
Because it's open goal and we are talking about it every week, it's a big deal, but...
Again, Kev, I think people think that we own Broomhill, we didn't.
No.
It was a year-to-year deal. Broomhill are still owned by the same people. So when we leave, nothing will change in terms of ownership of the club. It'll still be the same guys that were there before we came in.
So it was just like a sponsorship then?
Just like a sponsorship, mate. So a year's
year to year. We reviewed it end of each year to see moving forward. But
and again, it was both sides. I think Broomhill thought it was best for them to go back to the way they were as well. So again, it's amicable in terms of the...
I think on that part of the ownership and the sponsorship thing for a year, I say if you'd approach maybe say two or three of the lowland league teams at the bottom of that league and offer them that opportunity, I think a two or three of them would have found it difficult not to join partnership because they would have seen the opportunity potentially. In terms of, like, obviously, Broomhill, I think there's a couple of misconceptions as well about we took them away from the home. Well, I don't know too much, but the history I was reading, it showed that Broomhill last year were playing at Alloa.
They're further away from home.
So that's further away from where they're originally from. So bring them to Clyde makes them closer. And they don't actually have a ground. They didn't have a fan base.
No, I think that was the thing. It was a few months in, and you started the, because when you first went in, you're all excited building a new team, but then it was almost like it's almost like you need to build a full new club. But and it's no disrespect to Broomhill, but there was, as we've said earlier on, there was no sort of fan base. There was no stadium. There was no training facility. There was no committee. There was none of that there. So a lot of the time he's sort of getting into training. And the next day, try to get a training pitch sorted, try to get the stadium booked out, sorted, whatever it is. He's dealing with that. And then he's there and try to go into training. Now that wouldn't be at another club. They've read that like Spartans have got their training facilities there. So it was almost two jobs put into the one, rebuilding the club and rebuilding the team, bringing all the players in.
I don't get where they're coming from. You've sold players a dream. Cause it doesn't matter if you gave that player a 5-year deal. See if he doesn't perform on the pitch, he gets moved out.
Of course he does, mate.
So, if anything, you've helped the players because you've gave them a bigger exposure where more people's probably seen them. And if they've performed and somebody's been there watching them, they'll get another team. Or they'll stay there or they'll move on.
Higher up in the league.
Exactly.
I don't doubt for a second. At some points in the season, especially I would say after that kind of 8, 9, 10 game unbeaten run when we were sitting 3-4 points off the top with a game in hand and the performances of young Matty McDonald and Aidan McLaughlin, Jimmy Grant, the Simples, I was thinking... People must be watching them thinking they could play at a higher level. So in terms of the exposure, and even the exposure's been amazing for they guys, but I think your experience as a footballer and then being a first team coach with Peter Head in league football and then taking that to they guys, because yeah, they might have had some coaches before that maybe haven't been at a level or maybe haven't experienced playing league football. I think even that alone's invaluable sometimes. And it's like Broder said, showing them how to operate and how to conduct yourself when you're in at a professional club from day to day. Don't just turn up and think, oh, I've been working today, it's going to be a tough gig tonight. Be professional about it because everybody's watching every move you make. Somebody will come to you and say, Simon, what about the boy so-and-so? What do you think?
Kev, I'm going to tell you this now. See your players this year, they'll have more options this year than they had last year.
Yeah.
Bar him and Brock, I don't think any other boys had any other options when I went to meet them. So... If you look, we'll go through the full team. David Wilson was in and out of Stenhousemuir team. Jim Grant didn't play at all for Stirling Albion. Broder's played every game for Inverness. Cookie never played a game for Peterhead, a single game. Pat never played a single game for Broomhill. Left back, Kyle Semple didn't have a team for 2 years. Who else has played there? Conroy was in and out of the Peterhead team. Move on to midfield. Matty McDonald never played for Airdrie. Aidan McLaughlin never played for Broomhill.
Gaz.
Jamie Semple's in and out East Fife. Gaz never played a game for Peterhead. Alex never played a game for Annan. Ryan Tierney in and out at Broomhill, maybe 10 appearances.
Yep.
Evan injured for quite a bit of the season in and out at Broomhill. So when I went to meet these guys in the summers, they never had loads of offers.
No.
That's why they ended up coming to Broomhill. Because
yep.
believe me, it wasn't for the money.
No.
Now, as you say, with the exposure we've gave them, I've got loads of managers asking me about a lot of the players. Mm-hmm. So to say that the players have been hung out to dry is a load of nonsense.
And the other thing is whatever Broomhill do moving forward in terms
of... Sorry, it's even on that, Kev. And the reason why I think that they've shown up so well is because we've stuck to beliefs, our beliefs.
Aye.
How we told them we were going to play because we felt it suited them. Aye. It could have been easy for us to lose five games and say, do you know what, brothers, Stinney, we're going to kick the ball up the pitch today and try and win the game. But we wouldn't have got the best out of the players. We brought the players in because we're going to play this way it suits you and we're going to stick to it. And we've done that. Even
that,
when I think we've won one game since January, but we have not deviated away from playing.
You look at the young boy. I mean, Dev's been outstanding, and the thing is, there was a few games early on where he did
two top league one. Sorry, mate, two top league one teams get in touch with the goalie.
And he early on made a few mistakes, and it would have been easy to go, do you know what? Maybe we'll take him out and play a keeper that's maybe going to play it long and sort of take the risk away from him. Now he kept staying in it, and he's just got stronger and stronger. So now you're right.
As much as I've no won for a wee while. We've not been run out of the tap.
No,
do you know what I mean?
No, we're Celtic and Rangers.
The B teams, you could say. But
on like Broomhill, Broomhill obviously are still going to be Broomhill. They're still going to be playing the Lone League. They have now got an opportunity to approach some of these guys and say, right, we're going to be here next year.
Aye.
We'll keep you.
Uh-huh.
It's not as if these players are now, because Simon Ferry's left and Open Goal's pulled out, that these boys have to pull out as well.
But also boys that are more than sustainable in terms of what Broomhill could pay.
So it's not like we know the wages.
It's not like we're going to give people loads of money that Broomhill would never be able to afford again.
Turn around and say, we can't afford to give him what we're giving, because that's all you could give them anyway.
Yeah.
So there's still that option that it's not as if. So for me, I think if Broomhill are quick to act and get somebody in ready, somebody come in, it's got to be my manager at the end of the season, come in, speak to all the boys and say,
and
I
again,
want to
Kev,
keep
we've, said, we've said that we'll help Broomhill with that.
Aye.
Any recommendation you need me to speak to any managers, any players, we're more than
if I'm the director of football at Broomhill, whatever, I'm getting somebody in place. If I'm getting in there now, I'm getting my manager sorted out quite quickly, because there's plenty of guys available that could do a job. And what I'm saying is I'm getting to speak to all the players that are already there and say, right, who wants to stay next year and we'll go again? Because I tell you what, I said this to you from a point of view of watching most of the games this season, that there's a huge potential. And I always thought the first season would be difficult. If there was an option of a second season, I think it would be a lot different. And you would know that, you would agree with me in that, in terms of you would change a couple of things, but you need help.
Yeah.
And that help's probably not going to be there, hence why this is one of the reasons. So for me, I'm looking at it thinking it's a great opportunity for somebody, and going further down in terms of the under-20s with Robbie and Andy, I mean, they're playing some unbelievable football.
There you go. And there's some unbelievable, that never had before, a successful under-20s team.
Some unbelievable kids.
Probably ready to go and play in the first team on their money as well.
You could put that under-20s team 100%. In there and add a few experienced players.
Yep.
And even that would still be a strong Broomhill side compared to what they've had in the past.
Can I ask you how you've enjoyed it? On the pitch has been great.
On the pitch, everyone was right. Mm-hmm. I don't care what Emdy says, but apart from that, I've enjoyed it. I said to the boys, I enjoyed working with them. It's... At the beginning, I get frustrated.
Yeah.
It was hard for me, but get my head over Slaney Slaughter, mate, first. So.
But no, I just that. Shit myself. Remember
and then,
that?
And then your fight is all.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. United Healthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
That was incredible.
Do you know, and I'm not just saying this,
I don't think the people know about this.
I don't think you do.
No, that I've said to you, that's probably one of the worst moments. I said to you, like, I don't mind people arguing in training and that, but I mean, what had happened was, you said about, I was taking one of the boxes and the ball was out or in or whatever, and you said something, and then whatever fucking reason, he's just went and volleyed a ball at you, and then I've just seen you come towards me, and I remember that, seeing it myself. Please, boys, get in fucking front of him. Please, God, because he is going to let her fuck at me. And then the worst part was, I think Gaz and Broughton sent to me, but we're getting an AM each, and I just seen you like, throwing them after. Oh no, somebody else got
it
on
was
the
him?
No, is it me?
Do you know the worst part? So see, I think you've swung a nail. You never could go. You never punched his anything, but you've caught a nail or whatever. So well, I think it was a spot. No, wait, this is brilliant, right? So one of the spots is bleeding, right? So you say he brings us all in. So I say you bring us peeking to this is coming down. So Gaz gives me a bib to wipe it. But see when he gives me, I put the bib on, hitting. I must be in somebody's team for the next session.
But mate, I think you were on the side of the pit, you were a bounce player on the side, and you were standing, and Brock came up to me and Gath, I'd tell Slaney to go up the road, eh? I think Brothers is going to punch fuck out him after.
Because I remember.
So he walked up for the bus with his Puma Kings on.
I sat in the bus, I missed the bus, and at that one, I mean, whoever that company is, make sure you get a fucking bus, it comes out in 15 minutes instead of an hour and a half. I'm sitting for an hour and a half with this guy, and I didn't get him about midnight, but I remember the next day, I phoned Si the next day, and said, listen Si, I need to go, because that's a complete lack of respect. Again, I don't not mind people arguing and training and having a wee bit, but when you're launching a bot, anybody for that matter, doesn't matter, you cannot do it. And I said to Si, I need to go. I need to leave now, and that has to be that marker. And then, but we resolved it, and then we spoke to the boys on the Thursday, didn't we? Spoke, and I said, listen, boys, I'm lucky to still be here. Because that was the thing, it wasn't, because I'm Si's mate, or anything like that. It was, that can never happen again. So that's something I definitely regret.
Tell you what, it's been a pleasure watching him playing it through the back.
No, I've been outstanding. Because you know what, brothers, and people maybe, and I don't know how, but people maybe didn't think you were as good as that player.
But I'm going to tell you something again, why you should never listen to people on Twitter. I remember when we announced your signing, I had like messages saying,
you
want to play it for the back, and you sign Kirk Broadfoot who kicks up the pitch. I was like, mate, just shows that you know nothing about football, mate.
Had it my whole career, mate. Uh-huh. As I said, in one ear, out the other.
But you've shown it this year, mate.
If you start believing
you
what people write about
you, mate, with criticism.
Had it my whole career, mate. Whole career. If I start listening to people that sit in the house and can he kick a ball, then
be hiding under your bed. Uh-huh.
Fucked.
The thing is, I think anybody that has come along to Broadwood or even the away games and watched some of the performances this year, they'll find very few that they would like
been dominated.
Aye, they would find very few performances where they'll actually say, Broomhill were unlucky the other day, or they wouldn't say that, well, they're not a good side, or they're not well organised, or they're not set up right. Because I think I've always said this, and I keep saying it. In that league, I think it's a very, very close league, even though the positions in the league don't always reflect how competitive it is, because we've been on a really bad run since January and it's put us right down the league. But up until that point, I think I said to you, Chris, if you win the next 10 games, where do you think you could be? And he says, you'll be far away. And didn't quite work out. But it's just who's went on a good run at that right time. But beat Spartans at home the first game, drew them away. They're sitting top of the league, looking potentially missed a penalty last minute.
And even
the two East Kilbride games, lost at home and drew away. Mm-hmm. Probably could have won both of those games. Trenent at home.
No, I need to say Trenent away. No, we got battered.
Trenent got battered away from home, but at home.
Him and they sent
at home, possibly a couple of mistakes from the goalkeeper. That could have different result.
Yeah.
So it's all ifs and buts and things. But my whole point is that Broomhill were competitive. More than competitive, it was just for whatever reason we lost consistency or we lost players or injuries or suspensions.
Key players at key times. So when you think about that 10 game run, the next game, Div, who's so important to how we play in terms of playing out, but
he's
also
still in
defender,
games,
he's still in here, summing up his head. And then we go away to an end with him and Cookie, and then Semps missed a couple of games.
That's right.
We changed our full formation to get the best out of Semps in at 10. So I think he was at Easterlin at home when we'd beat Civil and we'd beat Cowdenbeath. Maybe start a wee run again, and then Semps misses the East Stirling game at home and we end up getting beat 1-0. So key players at key times have killed us a wee bit.
I know you see that there, the bad run, and I get that with the league position, but honestly, see majority of the games, sometimes you're going home and you're like yourself, how have we not won that
Berwick
game?
Berwick a couple of weeks ago,
honestly,
man.
I've
never seen a Lowland League team play on a pitch like that, mate. You were incredible.
And even I know they'll beat Aaron when they're doing the Bolton, but that pitch was like a fucking mudsty, a pigsty, outstanding, and that was the thing that excites you. If it was to go next season, you're thinking like maybe we can bring in a few here, and maybe in the staff change that a wee bit, change a few of the players. Do you know what I mean? There's certain areas you feel we need to get a wee bit stronger there. But unfortunately, that's not the case. But listen, I've loved it. I've absolutely loved it, mate. For me, because it's weird, mate. See before I came on Open Goal, maybe 4 or 5 years ago, my name was Muck.
I'd say it was still quite mucky, mate.
It's quite mucky, but probably, I mean, I've said this all day, it's quite a I was seen as a bit of a rocket, still are, but do you know that way? Probably a decent rocket. Do you know what I mean?
Rocket,
and a better rocket than probably what I was before. And you know, this was strange though, because when I came out of football, this is what killed me, because you said, obviously the Amsterdam thing, but people would not touch me in football, wouldn't take me into football. Even your mates in football, if they were doing coaching gigs or whatever it was, they still wouldn't. Even if they needed somebody in, they still wouldn't put me in. Even if I was close to them. So for society to bring me in, it was amazing. And again, I keep saying it, I wish I had clocked on quite early.
Even your development as a coach just came on massively. You were nervous, confidence in it. Now you're taking sessions, you're watching videos, you're sending me stuff like, in terms of opinions.
You don't agree with it, most of
it. Didn't agree with one of them, but you're doing it.
I think the whole journey for everybody, whether it be from the manager to the assistant to the players to me that was sitting doing a wee bit of commentary and stuff like that and then doing the podcast, it's been a learning experience, because I never knew how football clubs were run, how the day, like, it's all right being a player. Aye. You let everybody else take care of that side of things, but when you're kind of in the background and you see what's happening, you hear of a story of something or that, this, I've had a player in and couldn't get him registered in time and things like that, you're thinking, oh my God, man, imagine being the manager of this place. It's like, it's frustrating. So it's been good for us in different ways in terms of understanding maybe what could you do better next time, how could we improve things better next time if it was ever to happen, but in general,
mate, that's what I will say, Kev. Like, if you ever think, I know you're thinking about management. Realise how 24/7 it is, mate.
But isn't it part time? It's no part time.
I can't compare anything to anything. But when, like, I take a young group of boys because I enjoy coaching young kids, and it takes me to about like 2-3 o'clock in the afternoon to actually get all the things that were in my head about the game out of my head, so I can actually concentrate. And even Lince, would you stop talking about the kids? So I can only imagine with you where it's like, it's meaningful. My kids are meaningful.
See, even that, Kev, so imagine that, you've been beat, you know, and you've got the feelings, but then you then need to watch the game back. You then need to analyse, you need to clip it on, and then you need to watch the opposition, and that feeling of just... You end up not speaking to anybody.
You took it personally in terms of, because you cared.
Well, I've never seen him like that.
Because you cared.
I've never seen him like that. And do you know what? People were saying, because you're losing. Do you know when we went to the 10 game win streak, and I think it was the ninth game or something like that. I can't remember. And we were coming home, so we were all buzzing. And you were just like, this isn't normal. I should be enjoying that at the side. He was like, I'm almost torturing myself at the side. And that was even when we were winning, wasn't it?
But you were like that as well. I remember phoning you on a Sunday sometimes and you were the same.
Maybe that is just...
I don't know. It's like...
Win, lose or draw, you can't stop thinking about aspects of the game.
I almost tried to not let it get to me, but it does get to you almost
you
that.
You got better at it, didn't you?
Even winning, you almost take the negatives from it. Like, I should have done that better. We've won the game, just enjoy it, is what you're saying. But we were saying, see, if we had done that, we could have won maybe with a couple of more goals, where... Well, we're getting caught up in the negative instead of looking at the positives. But even the league itself, like, you would go 3 weeks without a game.
Rubbish.
You've lost a game, you want to go again, and then you've not got a game for 3 weeks.
Like, and then you've got 6 games in 3 weeks.
Aye.
But in that time, when you've not had a game in 3 weeks, the team you're coming up against in 3 weeks have been playing. Your boys are on the at it. But for me, the boys have just been amazing.
That's what I was just about to say. The one thing we're doing is to say the boys, because we have asked a lot for them. And there's been things that we can't really talk about that have happened to them. And I think their attitude's been absolutely incredible. Even like we told them Tuesday, their training on Thursday was
incredible, wasn't it?
Exceptional, mate.
And that's the thing, like, there's 6 games to go, and in those 6 games, regarding the five games, so I thought you said 6 games in 3 weeks there, but anyway, so five games in 3 weeks, nothing's going to change. You are still going to be professional about it, you're still going to approach it, try to win as many games as you can and finish hopefully a bit higher than where we are, because that's potentially on the cards. But for me, it's been enjoyable, but it's been eventful.
You'd like to think people will come and watch these players now.
Definitely.
No, for next year.
Listen, and definitely as well, Kev, I don't really speak to a lot of people in football, but any contacts I've made there the last few years in Open Goal, then I would definitely recommend a lot of these boys to them. And not just because you go on with them as a person or anything, like, you can't be like that, because they would, you see right away they're not good enough or no, but that isn't the case. But it's honestly, what a group of boys. You couldn't have done it. You couldn't have got a better group for it.
I told the boys that I was leaving, and it just coincidence that Peterhead manager got sacked 2 hours before it. So told the boys, walked into my office. Mate, honestly, I hadn't even sat in my seat chatting the door. I thought somebody's going to come in and say, what the fuck's happening here? Brock's like, right, Gaffer, when are we going to Peterhead? When are you taking me to Peterhead? I was like, mate, you actually brighten up my day.
Aye, brilliant. And I think that tells you, though, the way the players have reacted. Because if it was done wrong and it was... It was a sort of fuck about then boys when they did it, boys were like, right, I'll see you later, I'm not having this, but the boys have reacted brilliant. And as well, so can I just say this, that somebody was saying to me, oh, previous staff members at Broom Hill and all that get left for people to come in. That's not, that was
no, nobody was asked, not one person was told to leave this club
apart from, I mean, obviously the manager, but
apart from you a couple of times.
Was the manager, the previous manager at Broom Hill, was he like removed, was his position sacked or that?
They're going to get rid of him anyway.
Aye, because obviously, that's another one. Obviously, he maybe feels a bit hard done by, but that's football. You like, people get sacked, people get moved on, and
but we never went in and said to any. I mean, no, Lynn, who the physio, David, we never went in and said, "Listen, we're going to bring this person in or that person." That wasn't the case at all. They've stayed with us.
No, because to be fair, when you look at the backroom staff that you do have, it's minimal staff. There's three of you, and what else is there? The fitness guy, the physio, the kit man. That's it, really.
Mm. I also want to say on record, the older players, him and Conroy especially. I mean, as you say, where he came from, it'd have been so easy for him to get frustrated, but no missed a training session, no missed a game.
When you bring in
the way he's acted, both on and off the pitch, has been.
When you bring in a young team that you did, it's important to get a couple of experienced boys, and I think you nailed it with Big Brothers. I'd never met, I knew of Big Brothers, played against him, but actually getting to know him, same big guy, and obviously Conroy, I don't even get a nicer fella.
He's going to have a no missed a training session, no missed a
really,
game.
Really good guy, and that's
no said a word on you, but...
I think it was what we were talking about earlier. People probably had a stereotype of Slaney.
Aye.
You know, a stereotype.
Same with yourself. Aye.
Everybody has that stereotype, and then it's when you get to break the barriers, didn't. When I first met you, and Slaney got announced, I was like, well, why would I go and work with him? He just slaughtered me on a podcast. And you were like, come and meet him, see the person. And then when you get to see that person... You go on well with them, do you know what I mean? But even for the next five games, I don't think these players will be defined in the next five games.
No, of course
they are. MDates came and watched this season, you'd like to see your Semples and that. They've been brilliant, you know what I mean? Any manager out there should go and take a wee risk on them.
A lot of them have done well. Even you think about that, like, we're a brand new team, mate. Yeah. Arlo have been together for years. Arlo's team have been together for years. Your Grahams, your Scoogles, Kev Collies, Sam. They've been there for years. We gave them a right good game.
I'm pretty sure they've
been put together
in
6 weeks.
I think
after being 5 months
one.
Together, fourth in League One.
Right.
And then a penalty decision.
Thanks very much for that, mate. Losses my job. But
even I, but that was, I mean, that night was a real highlight. No, after the game it was a real, real low, but to actually look at where at the start of the year and when we first came into pre-season to where we were then,
right.
That fucking hell. And then
playing a certain way as well, mate, which isn't easy for players at that level to do.
No, and my favourite thing was the trip away.
Bucky.
That was just fucking...
My overriding feeling, I'll be looking at his face on the bus on the way back, and I know he's thinking, what the fuck
is that? You actually came down with you, remember that?
Brother, you want to come sit there? He's like,
oh, because you were sitting naked at that point. I was like, nah, I'll stay up, Peter.
You had so much.
Honestly.
That was incredible.
Then we got a wee bit of blood, the helicopter come out.
The lot came out, innit?
That's a lot. Are you going to stick in coaching? Are you going to...
Do you know what, mate? I feel really happy now that because I always wondered, can I do, because I love coaching with, like, at Bok and that, and I was like, can I do that with adults? And now I feel I can, but... I feel probably this season that I've probably just sort of Bok has been affected a wee bit because you know it's like it's no part time, it's you're full on it. So I want to go back to that and give that a right go for a few years.
What about you, Bronis?
I'll keep playing. Whether I go full time again?
Nah, he's played the fucking 50 games this year.
Well, I go full time or stay part time is a question I've no made my mind up yet.
Would you like full time again?
Probably missed it, if I'm being honest.
And your lifestyle, though, isn't it?
Just the way you live your life and the way your fitness regime is, I think, full time.
I've had that feeling if you're going back full time.
No bother.
I'll be on the door.
Aye.
I'll open the door for you.
Make me a good offer. We'll talk business later.
What about coaching, brother? Do you think that's something you're going to stick to? Recently, I used to have taken quite a lot.
It's been good. It's been hard. I'm not going to lie. I can see why... You turn it home, if I'm being honest, because sometimes when you ask boys and they don't do it, you get a wee bit frustrated. But yeah, I would like to do coaching, but if an offer come up to just be a player for another year, I would just go and be a player, I think, and then see what the coaching on the other side. Because as you say, it's hard to do both, especially having a business on the side as well. It's you've got this, and then the manager 24/7. It's hard, so it is.
Even like. again, this was our decision to bring him in, but surely the boys have learned off of him in terms of if you want to go to the top level, what you need, the work you need to put into doing, mate. Again, any other part times, I don't think you would get that sort of player that would play that level to learn off of.
Nothing, something there about, but
I mean, Gary Fraser's now doing press ups before the fucking training session,
which, you
I never thought I'd see.
With him bringing the weights bag and that, if I was just had a wee thought in my head about the night you brought the weights bag in and stuff.
Well, when Cookie booted it and broke his
that killed us. That
fuck my hair. I was an idiot.
I came in that day after the Spartans game, Cookie missed the penalty, and I came in Cookie's in the shower room. And I'm like, ah, Cookie, it's fine. I've all missed penalties. Like, no, it's my foot. I think my foot's broke.
Came in angry and brought a bag and Broder's weights were in the bag, broke his toe.
That'll all come up on the documentary.
Well, that come up, sorry, I didn't realise that was in
any there. Any highlights, Si, for you? Just
being used and I think the coaches before a good year, mate. I've really enjoyed it, dressing room before.
Do you feel like no weights over your shoulders, but some sort of, you've got normality back?
Definitely. Honestly, Kev, see, for 7 months, I never slept, mate. Maybe 2 hours a night, but see, now I'm back to actually sleeping again, which is a fucking big relief.
I actually didn't sleep at all, but what do you think was the main hang through this podcast, or was it just everything that you're dealing with? Didn't think I would take defeats as bad as I did, mate. Because you took it on you, didn't you?
Honestly, mate, I'm talking 3 or 4 days that you're fucking questioning everything the way you've said, team you've picked, tactical, how you've been on the side. Just over analyse everything.
I can see why you're like that, because even when you join in at training, you hate getting beat. Honestly,
how angry did you get?
Can we just say, like, the old boys won every game?
Every game,
every game. Need to put that out there.
So the old was a good standard. I actually started with old team in the first month.
It was only when you stopped playing that we started.
I get beat every week.
And he's playing with his New Balance on.
So
trainer,
I wonder where Chris is. Boy, you injured your New Balance.
Oh, the Italian boy.
Wonder where he is. Remember, sorry, Kev, I know you're dying to get that question, but see, Chris, he came in and there was no kit for him. So I'm, and the boys are all out doing the work, and the boys come out and say, listen, Chris is getting the clothes, he's got jeans and Timbies or something. And they're like, they can't come out and train like that. So I've went, I like him, said, Chris, so I've took my kit off.
You put his jeans on?
But I don't wash my kit.
So they've been stinking.
Chris has put my shorts and sluggies on. And I've said to Chris, they're brand new pa. I said, I've just the kit man just gave me. What the fuck? So Chris must have been injured. Sorry, Kev, you're desperate to get
this question. I desperately get this last question in.
It's no last, I don't know where you're coming at.
You've obviously resurrected his career for 10 minutes. Will you end his career for 10 minutes before the season goes out?
That's up to him, mate. You want to play?
No, I don't. I mean,
come on, Paul, I think the fans.
No, do you know what?
He's going to take.
We can finish that bit of documentary.
No, to play, I found it really early on that there was a reason why I came out of it, but I started getting demons again. I started really struggling with it. Even joining in training, I was getting him feeling like injuries I realised early on that there was lots of reasons why I came away from football. And then I was looking at your boys, how demanding and how fit they were, and I'm like, to get to that level, and what Si said for the start, this isn't a gimmick. So I'm not going to bring my pal in just to fucking play. So if I wasn't ready to put the same work in as him, which at training, mate, it was tough.
But that time when you made your debut, you were doing really well. That's why you played.
And at that time, it was maybe I should have kept going, but again, I kept getting. I don't know, I was overthinking everything. I thought I would rather these boys play, they've still got their career, and step back into the coaching.
He was good on the video analysis, wasn't he?
Aye, he was. I thought the last few weeks you've been very good at coaching, I think, stepping up. I don't think it's a technical thing with you. I think it's more a mental fitness thing.
Aye.
Because technically when you do join in, you're very good. It's just that thought, when you do a run, you think, oh no, I'm fucked.
I'm fucked.
But you'll know, because you can keep going.
Just get through it.
Aye.
I didn't want to be that sort of player either, that he isn't as fit as the rest and you're playing, and is it like a pals act or for the boys to see that, the boys want to see or whatever. So I think I was, and the big thing for me, it was that I wanted the boys have got all their career ahead of them. So do you know what I mean? I was like, what am I doing? I didn't really have a career, but well, I did.
So on this final part of the day, anything we've no cleared up, and quite happy with how everyone's
just being honest, mate, isn't it? It's just we've just told you the truth, facts.
We'll go Saturday. We've got
Can I always say as well, for anybody that does want, not even just management, coaching that night where you had to do video analysis, then plan out a full session and then go and set it up, all within how hard it is.
I said to Afro him a night about me, I don't know how you have not been demented this full season doing that. Because when you're doing your video analysis and then the players are coming up to warm up, your head goes. But I say to him regularly, and I was doing this, I was like, my head's went blank, can you come in and help me here? Because it's just like you're all day you're planning to do video analysis. Then when you get there, you're planning the session. Well, you've planned your session already, but then you're going to go out and put it all out. And then you're trying to get your numbers sorted, so you're in the group chat waiting to see who's in. Then there might be.
And then if somebody pulls out.
So what happened was, somebody put out and we were left with 17 or something. Does brilliant possession, so I was doing one of the possessions I had done. But it was kind of like, you had to have a certain amount of numbers, so one put out and I'm like, him, nah, you just take care. And you just done it right away, but that's where, as a young coach, it is.
Peter, I don't know, even coaching, how hard that is, even you.
It's just talking to a group of people. On a pitch, I can speak to MD, but see when you stand in front of them, it's so nerve-wracking.
It's tough, better like
planning it. Has to
getting across.
The amount of times you come at your team talk, you're like, what a load of shite I've just spoke to.
I've been filmed. Even that, even the documentary side of things, I think that's been quite healthy for Scottish football, whatever anybody's opinions of it is. Because in Scottish football, we don't sometimes help ourselves. So actually to see the background, how I know a team operates and what managers say, and how players
react. Negative, mate.
I think it's been refreshing. And I'm glad that we had a part in this opportunity, because it's been an experience. That's what it has
your
been.
Your distances yourself last week when the abuse was coming.
You were not taking much to do it. You wanted to be I'm not part of the Open Goal Room.
Exactly. No, I'm just a fucking fat commentator. I was on the training field once.
Big Clive Tilsley.
I've loved the boys.
The boys have been brilliant. My three favourites, were there?
No,
I don't do that. Who drinks the worst dress?
Nice knowing you, lads.
But no, amazing guys, well done.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Hey folks, it's Mark Maron from WTF. I've been talking to all kinds of famous people in my garage since 2009, including a sitting president.
You know, I don't imagine you were flying in here on the chopper thinking like, you know, I am nervous about Mark.
No, I wasn't.
Okay, well, that's good.
That would be a problem.
It would be a problem.
If the president was feeling stressed about
coming to my garage.
Coming to your garage.
And now there's even more WTF when you subscribe to the full Marin to get weekly bonus content and all WTF episodes ad-free. Listen to WTF wherever you get podcasts and subscribe to the full Marin at go.acast.com/WTF.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.